said to me, "Are you my servant?"
It's
pretty embarrassing to go for a meeting and have Jesus goes, "Are you our servant today?"
That's great. Okay, I'm going to pray while my machine restarts. Father God, I thank you this morning for the worship and the praise. Thank you for the honesty in the prayers. Thank you for the answering of prayers. And thank you for everyone that's gathered here today to come to worship you and to hear what you have to say. Lord, help me to deliver your word calmly, Lord, and that you would speak to each and every one of us. Lord, you've spoken to me this week through this, and I just ask, Lord God, that we would take on board everything that you're showing us, and that you would help us to really glorify your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay. I'm just waiting for this to actually connect, and then we're all systems go. No. Two shakes. Psalm 121 to 128. Yep, 2 seconds. Okay. Shall us speak? Okay. I have done justice and righteousness. Do not leave me to my oppressors. Be surety for your servant for good. Do not let the proud oppress me. My eyes fail from seeking your salvation and your righteous word. Deal with your servant according to your mercy, and teach me your statutes. I am your servant. Give me understanding that I may know your testimonies. It is time for you to act, O Lord, for they have regarded your law as void. Therefore I love your commandments more than gold, yes, than fine gold. Therefore all your precepts concerning all things I consider to be right. I hate every false way. Okay, Psalm 119, the Jewish, the Hebrew alphabet. I have got the letter. Ayan, I think it is, but it's a guttural sound to it, which I can't do. Anyway, I put up a picture here, an image of an eye, and it is said that the eye is the window of the soul or the heart. What the eye beholds, it desires. The eyes are linked to our hearts. You've heard an evil eye, maybe a filthy looker. There's all different types of association with the eye. What the eye sees goes into the mind, the heart, and the soul. Eye surgery, big thing at the minute. See it on TV all the time. People advertising, come and get your eyes corrected. Laser treatment. They can basically take your eyes, laser them, and fix them, give you 20/20 vision again. I myself would consider such an operation, so I would be perfect in all ways. But why do you laugh when I always talk about myself? I would have perfect vision, but I would be too scared of the thing going wrong. And I've also been led to believe that this, your eyes are forever changing. It's like an organism, part of your body that always changes. And so when you've had the surgery, maybe 5 years down the line, you discover that you need to wear glasses again. So don't know if I'm up for that. But this today is the 16th letter of the alphabet. It's formed like this. And it represents, so it's meant to represent the sort of image of the eye. The meaning of it looks like the human eye, meaning to see. much more than just to see, to understand and obey. A very, very good letter to get this morning. Quite excited by this letter. So the Hebrew view it in two ways. They see it as the evil eye and the good eye, represented in this symbol. The letter is said to represent the two types of eye. Jesus said that the eye is the light of the body. Light enters through the eyes. And it is said that your eyes, what they behold and see, is how you act, your behavior, your conduct, your goodness is viewed as good if you have the good eye. If you have the evil eye, it's of course the opposite. The eye is full of darkness. There is no light within you. You do evil things and you act wrongly towards others. You only need me to explain to you what an evil eye is and what a good eye is. Jesus said this. Jesus said the eye is the lamp of the body. Whatever goes in is good, is light. You're seeing good things, you're doing good things. Good things are coming back out. It's a two-way process. If you're a believer and you're doing the good things of God, you're wanting to serve Him, you want to do all the right things, you're doing good. The other flip side to this is that everything that we do, good and evil, is seen by the Lord. And Proverbs 15:3 says, the eyes of the Lord are every place, keeping watch on good and evil. Don't think that you can hide any act from God, because you can't. There is nothing that is done or said or acted out that the Lord God does not know about. There will be no escaping any deed that has been committed, and every deed will be exposed. It's a very frightening thought to know that everything that we do, even the things that we think we do in secret, is known by God. Ayan means to see, like I've said, to understand and obey and to have spiritual sight. This part of the reading that we are looking at is a prayer for God's help and protection. We have King David again. David was always being chased by his adversaries. In the early days, it was Saul, and it moved on throughout his time. And he's always crying out for help. He's always looking to be saved from some dire circumstance that is coming upon him. But this reading this morning begins with a declaration from David. And it is a really, really firm declaration. I have done justice and righteousness. I mean, just to say that, I could not utter those words out of my mouth, because I know I am not perfect. And I know that I don't always do the right thing, and I have to go before the Lord for that. But David is able to say, I have done justice and righteousness. And this, I have done what is right, if you want to turn it around. I have done what is right. David declares this, that he has always done the right thing, that he has shunned evil, that he cannot stand wrong, he cannot stand lies, and he cannot have deception. I have done what is right. Every day we face this decision, to do the right thing or to do the wrong thing. And sometimes we even consider doing the wrong thing if we think it's the right thing. And that's a perverse way of putting this across. But if you have a situation and you think someone's going to be hurt by it, or you think there's going to be a poor outcome to it, you maybe try and sort of massage things a little so that, you know, the thing isn't going to be as bad, and the person it's coming to, and maybe there'll be a bit of face saved. Or maybe a certain situation's arisen and you know someone's going to get in serious trouble for it, and you know the right thing to do and you know the wrong thing to do, and maybe you try and sort of hit the middle ground. David's declaring, I do the right thing no matter what the outcome or the decision that is made. I have to say, sometimes I fall in between the midway between the right and the wrong thing, especially with my own kids in the house. If I know one's done wrong, and I think Ruth's going to go mad if she discovers this, they always come running to me because they know I'm going to be the soft touch, and I can work it for them a bit better, and I can sort of ease the blow so that Ruth isn't going to be so mad with them. Maybe that, you'll always find that is the truth. Like, they do, they run to me for cover, and I try to do the right thing, but I fall in between the two. That's a good choice. So David says, David is saying this, your eyes have witnessed. What have his eyes witnessed? They've witnessed his behavior, his conduct, and his actions. David, before the Lord, is saying, Lord, you've seen all that I have done. You've witnessed my ways. You've seen my behavior. I cannot hide my ways from you. What I do and say and how I act, you know. This is what David is basically declaring.
Before we go into this part of the psalm.
Psalm, he is also saying this, and it's mentioned twice. His oppressors are mentioned in verse 121 and verse 122. His enemies are always around about him. I put this image up to give you an idea of, you know, this is a wild animal being surrounded by wolves. Wolves hunt in a pack, and they want to take this animal out and basically use it for dinner. But the image is one that we, as Christians or as believers, will know somewhat of what it is like to have our enemies around us, and the frightening sort of image that this portrays, that we don't feel comfortable, it's frightening, and when we were surrounded by our enemies, those who hate us, those who want to slander us, those who want to oppress us. Many of us have enemies today. I have plenty of enemies, trust me. I'm not the most favoured person in the world. I don't walk down to town and say hello to everybody I pass. You walk down to town with Tanya on a Saturday afternoon, you can't get down High Street without about 20 stops. You walk down to town with me on a Saturday and you'll be at the bottom of High Street within about 2 minutes. I don't know what I'm... Many have enemies like this today who seek to bring us down, who seek to bring us stress and worry. So quickly, trying to get through to the main point of this. Verse 122 says this, and this is amazing. Be surety for your servant for good. A real cry for God's protective hand. I am your servant, he is declaring. I am your servant. I am yours. Be surety for me. And what this actually means is to take responsibility for another. Example would be in respect of a debt or in respect of a guarantor for something. I want you to be surety for me. Take responsibility for another. He has grounds to say this under the covenant of grace that we have learnt about over the last couple of years. It's been ingrained in my mind about the covenant of grace. And David can now say with surety, be surety for me. Grant it to me under your covenant. To ask for God to divinely intervene. The Lord is obliged, if you will, to his people under this covenant to intervene, to help him, to defend him, and to deliver him from the enemy that is surrounding him, the image of the wolves around the wild animal. The Lord is implored to act. He cannot just leave his servant to perish. He cannot leave him to be cruelly treated by his enemies. He will act. In verse 123 tells us this. My eyes fail from seeking your salvation and your righteous word. Is this telling us just about his physical condition and his spiritual condition? He is tired and he is weary. He has been battered by the constant battles that he has endured. His eyes are failing. The question that I asked myself was, is he losing his faith? Is he doubting God? Is he saying, Lord, are you going to leave me to my enemies now and not spare me? I have been waiting, I have been seeking you, and still you have not given me rest from those who are seeking to devour me. Is he now believing that God is going to somehow leave him? The answer is no. The Lord is his surety, and this should be all that we need to remain strong. It's a wonderful, wonderful verse in the Bible to hold on to. I don't think I'm ever going to forget this now. The Lord is my surety. What else do I need? There's no gold or silver. There's no treasure. There's nothing else that I need beyond the surety that the Lord has given to me. So King David, throughout this psalm, is holding on to the word of God. Asking God to teach him his statutes. The word of God is all that he has had continuing through this psalm. There was nowhere else to go. There was nowhere else to turn to. There was no other weapon that he could have that is any better than the Word of God. And he knows the Word of the Lord. So, how about bringing this sort of forward a wee bit to us? Have we got the same surety that King David has in Psalm 119? He trusts in the one who is surety for him. Surety means one who stands up for or in the place of another. Have we got that today in our lives? Do we have someone who has stood up for us? Do we have someone that has stood in another place for us? Of course, we know that we have Jesus, who by his death and resurrection, who went to the cross for us willingly, who was ransomed for us, it was our ransom, that he defeated death and sin, therefore taking our place, standing in our place to pay the debt for our sin. So we have that surety first and foremost in Jesus. But we have also a continuing surety. Our surety, our continuing surety today, is in the Holy Spirit. Our surety in the Holy Spirit is our continual surety. He empowers us to stand. He enables us to have spiritual sight. He gives us wisdom when our physical strength is failing. He is the sight that we need, the spiritual sight beyond the physical sight, to see what is happening. The Holy Spirit has been given to us by the Father, and we have a strong and powerful sustainer and a surety that will always stand for us. The Father will give you a helper that he may abide with you forever. It's not found in Acts, it's found in John. But he has given us a helper. And the next verse says, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells in you and will be with you. We have the Holy Spirit today dwelling in us, guiding us and helping us. He is everything that we need. The promise from the Father whenever Jesus left to go to heaven. Now, so far I've tried to give you a kind of overview of where King David is, the enemies that he's facing, and the surety that he has, the surety that we have. And it struck me, going through this, that I'm a moaner. At times when it comes to going through the trials and tribulations and wondering why we're always having to go through them. And, you know, can we not just have one trial a year, God, instead of half a dozen trials? In fact, my trials start on a Monday and end on Sunday. Start again on the Monday. But,
my trials
happen. But when we receive a greater measure of faith, you should expect to receive a greater trial. In other words, each and every trial that is coming is increasing your faith so that you can look at the result of the previous trial and say, yes, it was difficult, yes, it was hard, but my faith has increased. And so my next trial is going to be maybe a greater trial, but I'm going to have a greater faith. We are building our faith. We are building our spiritual sight as well, which is enabling us to overcome the trials. I'm going to give you an example. The fence. This has been the bane of my life for a long time. When the trial is hitting hard, you begin to lose sight. Now, over the past months, maybe a couple of years, every year the storm comes in and it batters my fence. Now, this isn't exactly my fence, but it's a good representation of it. I've had to go to bed and I know the storm's coming in. I'm not in my bed thinking, oh, please, Lord, don't let the fence come down tonight. And I have actually been out in the street at about 2 a.m. picking up bits of my fence off the road and carrying it back into the garden. Lying in bed worrying and worrying about my fence. Last week, the Messiah appeared in my house. David Rainey showed up with his van, his stakes. He took my fence, he put it all back together, screwed it and everything. And then he took these stakes and he battered them into the ground. And then he got a plank, but another bit of wood, and he put it to the bottom of this one and he popped it up to the fence, and he did it three or four times, And I went and I shaked it and all, and that was great. And after he left, and I said, thanks very much, Dave, I owe you so much. And he said, yes, you know, it's something I needed to do for me, and surely I'd bring it. But anyway, away he went, and there was a storm coming, Storm Frank or whatever it was. I said, come on, the storm! And I got into my bed that night, and I'm lying there, I said, come on, batter it. And I went out and all, tested it and everything, and nothing, not even an inch, didn't move, wonderful. And the reason I'm telling you this is because that fence is a bit like my faith was. Which is, when you're getting hit constantly by the storms of this life, and if your eyes aren't fixed upon Jesus, and maybe your eyes are fixed on something else, you're letting the storm batter you. And you're not concentrating or fixing your eyes on Jesus, and this is what the result of that is. But when you begin to fix your eyes on Jesus, like I said, the Messiah showed up, and he puts the stakes in the ground, and then he puts the struts or the flying buttresses, if you want to go back to medieval terms, and they strengthen up the fence. And when the storms are coming back in, you can lie and smile in your bed because you know your fence is secure. Well, you can lie and smile in your bed now when you know that your surety, your strength, your resolve is the Holy Spirit, who will help you stand time and time and time again against the battering that the storms of this life will bring. And this is King David, like I said, always going through the battle, always being hounded by his oppressors, and now can stand and say, but Lord, I know you're my surety. Holy Spirit, I know you're my surety. This morning we have three sureties that I've already been through. We have the Father, God the Father, spoke. We've got Jesus stood in my place, my surety, we spoke. Then we have the Holy Spirit, here's my continuing surety. All three, the Godhead, three in one, working together for me. Isn't that amazing? That we all have that surety. The storms of this life can batter me, they can try and overpower me, but the strength that is now in me is greater than the battle coming against me. King David knew in Psalm 119, verse 125, he said this, I am your servant, give me understanding that I may know your testimonies. David is seeking for God to give him understanding, but to also deal with him according to his mercy. And not deal with him in the sense of, disciplining him and all that. That's not what it means. It means deal with him in his mercy. David cries for God's help and his protection and his delivery based on the fact that God will deal with him in his mercy under the covenant of grace, not under the covenant of works. So, what does it mean for us? And God does not deal with David under the covenant of works, therefore he will not deal with us under the covenant of works. God deals with us under the covenant of grace. What does it mean? Well, it means now that as we continue to walk, or as David walked through the storm, he walked righteously. He declared that. I walk righteously, waiting in humility for God to deliver him in God's time. And in doing this, he will be sanctified, and he will be directed and driven into God's word. That is the problem for us who are short-sighted like me, which is when the storm of the life is hitting you, when the trial is coming, all we want to see is the end date. Lord, the trial is here. It's the 5th of September. Please give me the end date so I know when to hold out for. And that's not how it works. There is no end date. It could be tomorrow, it could be next week, it could be next year. But it's always in God's timing, and God's timing is perfect. And that is difficult for us to take on board when we're struggling through the trials. So I am to see, to have sight, and to have wisdom. And I suppose the key line, if you want, that I want to put under our minds this morning is this. Lord, open the eyes of my heart. Drive me into your word. Let me see with the eyes of faith what you are doing and why you are doing it. David has seen what his enemies have done. He's been witnessing what his enemies have been doing. The wickedness that the nations and whatever around about him have been doing. And he has seen it. And he then declares this, and it is unbelievable that this line applies to this day, to this very moment. In verse 126, he says this, it is time for you to act, O Lord. I mean, how many of us would love to say that in boldness to God? It is time for you to act, O Lord. And I was thinking we could apply this to our own situations and difficulties. But then I thought about it in a bigger arena. I thought about it, Lord, it is time for you to act. It is time for you to send your Spirit across Northern Ireland, across Listenabreen, across Bangor. It is time for you to send your Spirit across this land, that people will open their eyes, open the eyes of their heart and see Jesus, that the Spirit will move across our land and that it will bring a revival. This is not something I would ever preach, but when I read that verse, I thought, Lord, open the eyes of the people of Northern Ireland that they would see who you really are. It is time for you to act, Lord. Time is short. Wickedness is abounding. You hear about it day and daily on the news, the wicked things being done. And I'm saying, Lord, send your Spirit across this land. Bring revival. Bring people to repentance that they would open their eyes to see Jesus. You see, King David could not stand what wickedness was being committed on the earth. Father, like King David, is what we should be saying. We love your word. We love it more than gold, more than fine gold. We love it more than anything that we could be offered. It is a precious, precious gem to us. Let it be imprinted on our hearts. Let us know the word of God, that it is surety to us when we come across the trials and the difficulties of this life. We need this morning to have corrective eye treatment. I know I do. See, maybe today you haven't been seeing clearly. For whatever reason, something has been distorting your view. Your lens is distorted and you're not seeing things clearly. Your focus is on the situation and the trial instead of focusing on Jesus. You can't see the wood for the trees. That's a classic term that you will hear many, many times when you're going through a situation. Maybe you're confiding in somebody else and they have a bit of wisdom and understanding, and they'll say, but you're concentrating on the wrong thing. Our concentration should always be upon the Lord. Fix your eyes on Him. We often, and this is a great thing, when the penny drops. So, you've been going through the trial. It's been horrendous for whatever situation it has been. And it comes to the end of it. And then 3 months later, you look back and you say, oh, I see. I see, Lord, what you were doing. I see why I went through that. Because you were doing this work. And that work had to be done for this to happen. I see it. And you give thanks to God when you suddenly realize what God was doing. And so they say that hindsight is a wonderful thing. When you can look back at the Ebenezer and see what God has done. And I say, yes, that is great, fantastic. Hindsight is wonderful, but I would much rather we had foresight in here this morning. I would much rather we were able to see what was happening and going through it, knowing that God is doing it for a better purpose, that everything is being worked for our good, that when you're going through the storm, and I know, look, I'm the biggest hypocrite in here, because when I'm going through the storm, like Taddy said, I'm growling and crying and getting on. And, some of the things I said I had to repent for. But if I had the eyes of faith to know that God was doing this for a purpose, then you would go through it singing and clapping and laughing. Well, probably wouldn't, but there would be a greater expectation as to what God was going to do. You may not see the beginning from the end and the end from the beginning, but as you're going through it with the eyes of faith, when the eyes of your heart have been opened and you're able to see, Lord, I can see what you're doing. I am understanding it and I want to get to the end. Lord, please give me the wisdom to do so. So in finishing this morning, I'm asking all of us, not just a few of us, all of us to have the eyes of faith. To have the eyes of our heart opened, that we can see what God has done or what God is doing or what God is going to do, what He is permitting in our lives, so that when we want to come through that, that we're trusting in Him, walking in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit guiding us with the eyes of faith, knowing that we have a surety in us that it's the Holy Spirit who is forever guiding us through it. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you this morning for your word. I thank you for everything that you've shown me this week, and how, Lord God, you are our surety. You're forever with us and standing with us. And Lord God, if you hadn't have sent your Son to stand for us, Lord, would there be none of us here this morning. You took our place for us at Calvary. But Lord, I just ask that you would help us to continue this week to have the corrective eye surgery that we need, that we would have eyes of faith, spiritual sight. Help us, Lord God, to see what you're doing. And help us, Lord God, to continually pray for your help and your guidance. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.